Open for business? Because mine would say closed for business.
No, it's April. All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right,
all right. Hello and welcome from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. That's all you need to know. Thank you very much for joining the program. Thanks for being a listener. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. I saw a tweet from somebody talking about, it was like, it's like, you know how you see tweets and it's just like, you know, somebody liked it and now it's like in your timeline? I don't know if I like that. I feel like, and I know people unfollow me because I'm a liker. Like if you say something I like, I want to acknowledge it. But I saw somebody liked a tweet and it was talking about like ranking the best. Hold on, I need to pull on. Ranking the best TV show theme songs. And I think they had A-Team up there pretty high, which is pretty good. But Magnum P.I. was a top 10 and Magnum P.I. was completely left off the list. And to me, that's number, I mean, it's arguable. It's number one for me, but it could be in the top three. The thing is that all the top TV theme songs are by the same composer, Mike Post. He's the guy who fucking dominated the 80s. He did all the Stephen J. Connell shit. He did Law and Order, L.A. Law, all the Laws. I mean, there's enough. Stephen Bochco, he did all those. Every fucking show this guy did the music for. So it's like, because the tweet I saw was like, somebody should do a bracket of these or something. And I was like, yeah, but it's all one guy. It's one guy competing up against himself. And the guy's a fucking star. Just, we should do a show just celebrating Mike Post. Oh my God, Ed, make a note of that. Joining me now, co-host of the program, Ed Daly. Ed, make a note.
It's crazy. It's crazy when you're talking about
celebration.
Yeah, when you were talking about top theme songs, and as you were introducing it, I was thinking, well, besides Magnum PI being number one, what would be the others? But that music is iconic.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. A-Team is good, but I gotta be honest, I never dug the whole intro explaining shit with the A-Team. It was too much talking.
Great
music. Now, but, you know, in 1972, a crack commando unit, if you can find all that, it's like, buddy, every song?
Did they do that every week? Because you know how MASH...
Maybe by, like, later seasons.
Yeah, like MASH, early on, they would have the whole song at the beginning. With the like vocals, or well, just like the whole
song
place.
"Suicide Is Painless" was pretty cool, but it was a huge bummer when it was just the instrumental. The word "Suicide Is Painless" was less depressing than that all music.
I mean, in retrospect, MASH was pretty much a bummer.
It was a huge bummer. I feel like the reruns were on right after Different Strokes or something, something I was watching and enjoying, and then you hear. It was like that awful trumpet version of Suicide Is Painless, and I couldn't run to the television fast enough because I'm that fucking old. I didn't have a remote control though. I was pretty old.
It was one of the two things my stepdad insisted on watching. Like, he wasn't a TV guy, but if the Laker game was on, the entire Laker game was on the entire time it was on. And when MASH came on at 7 p.m., assuming the Lakers weren't playing, a rerun of MASH was playing every night at 7 p.m. in our house.
And who's going to hold the nickname guy accountable? Whoever named Hot Lips Houlihan.
This is a real low bar back then.
Yeah, real low.
Extremely low bar. And, like, she was having an affair with Frank Burns. Now, Frank Burns... That was like the good part of the show. They would fuck with Frank Burns a little bit, and it would be like 2% that, and then 98% like Korea subbing for Vietnam, and the fucking sadness and patheticness of war. But it was like it was like assumed that she was way too hot for him. And I was like, yeah, they're about on the same level.
Right.
Like every, and now, Klinger, and then, every Klinger. Now and then Hawkeye would be banging a hot nurse and that right. I would get into.
Mm-hmm.
Klinger had a deal.
Yeah, he had a deal, but also he had 2 to 3 episodes worth of jokes in him. And yet they had him going for fucking ever with the same stupid cross-dressing joke to get out of the military.
How about when you found out that Gary Berghoff had a deformed hand and you would always be looking for it? Like at some point during your tenure of watching MASH, you found out Radar O'Reilly had a fucked up hand. He was born with like a birth defect or something. And so then you're always looking for it. And they always had him like holding a pencil or holding a clipboard or something, hiding it. And you're always looking. Oh, you're like, oh, I kind of saw it. I kind of saw his fucked up hand.
I got to be honest. Yeah. I really wasn't lying when I said I ran to the television to change it. Yeah. I don't know if I saw a full episode of that show.
Oh, you, well.
And you, I knew about much. Radar's hand.
Yeah.
In the internet age, I didn't even know about this.
Yeah. I knew about it. I don't know. I think my mom might have told me or something. And then forever, because it was always on. It was on every night at my house because it was in syndication at 7 p.m. Yeah. I don't know if we should talk. Should we talk about Alex Jones?
Sure.
He was like a big deal in the conspiracy theorist dummy. Like if you're a fucking dummy, you really like Alex Jones. And the thing about Alex Jones is that he's, to me, I don't care about him because he's just playing a character. All those people are just playing characters. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, they're all just they're doing an act for you to get people to watch them. And it's an over the top thing.
The problem is that those characters are informing worldviews.
That's the problem. That's the thing. Because there's dummies. There's really stupid, dumb people that are like, oh, this guy's the fucking sage. This guy's got information that no one else has. Like some fucking fat fuck in Texas that's fucking bright red from whiskey and tanning salons has all the fucking secret information on what's really happening in the world. Are you a fucking idiot? And so he got kicked off all these platforms and like he's not on Facebook and because he's getting sued, right? Like these, like the people that host his content are covering their own asses when they're like, hey, like when eventually this guy gets his fucking dick sued off by the Sandy Hook parents who are owed everything they can get from this fucking asshole, eventually they're going to go, hey, also you guys knew he was full of shit and you guys knew he was inciting people to harass us and you were hosting his content. And they're like, hey, we better fucking get this shit off of here.
But yo, about free speech, right, man?
It's not a First Amendment issue, dummy. Like he can still have a website on the internet that you can go to and hear his stupid fucking content. Like it's there for you to have. Yeah. No one's saying he can't say his stupid shit. Unless what he's saying is inciting people to chase the families, the parents of murdered children around the country and knock on their fucking door and call them liars and actors.
And didn't they do what is it called? Doxing? Or no,
they doxed.
Not just dox. What's the thing? Swatting? I think somebody swatted one of those parents.
Was there swatting? Was there Alex Jones related swatting?
No, but the people who get riled up by him, yes. I think one of them swatted the parents.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I know, and same with the Parkland survivors.
Yeah. It's
like let's just agitate, and that's fucked up to cops.
Yeah, cops
have to go on credible threats, or not even credible. They have to if they hear something, they gotta.
Cops,
go on them,
but, cops fucking yeah. shot a guy in Kansas because they thought he was a fucking madman with a gun because somebody called the SWAT team on him.
Right.
Like, do you think those cops felt really good about that the next day?
Yeah, did they want to be going into that tense situation? No.
No.
Fuck all these
anyway,
people.
Fuck Alex Jones, but if you like him, like, go watch his stupid shit. Like, it's still available to you and you can have it. Like, just not in the same place that it was before.
He didn't get hauled off to jail.
No.
He's just not allowed to spread his lies on certain websites.
Right. No one silenced him. You could still buy his protein powder and his whatever else.
I saw good onion story, and I'm not even gonna try to do it because I'll butcher it, but it said something like Alex Jones convinced fans if they don't buy his supplements, they'll turn into Jews.
That's so fucking funny. I would like confirmation, because we here at the Baller Lifestyle Podcast, we're Alex Jones age truthers.
Yes, we are.
Because he claims that he was born in 1974.
Oh, I was going to say, didn't he claim he was less than 55?
Yes, he claims that he's 44 years old, Ed.
No. False.
That he's born in 1974. Just look at him. Look at his fucking face and tell me, oh yeah, that guy's 44. Are you fucking kidding me?
Get out of here.
44 plus 12.
I
need to see the documents. Show me the documents. We have the documents. I need to see the fucking birth certificate, the long form one, the one that don't show me just the front, because that can be doctored. Show me the fucking long form, front and back, 1974, Alex Jones. I'm not buying it.
I think this is an important issue. And I will say, at the time that he was bounced, and even into the 80s, the country was pretty split on Richard Nixon. For some reason, in the couple decades since, it has swung completely that, the guy was a goon. He was a bad president overall. But even I remember reading something into the 80s, like it was still 50-50. People wanted to weigh China versus war on drugs and breaking into your opponent's office and all that shit.
Yeah. He opened up to China. That was the thing he had going for him.
China. But let's forget about all the other bullshit.
Right.
So anyway, it came out today because tomorrow is the anniversary of him leaving the White House. Yeah. And somebody posted a picture of his final lunch in the White House. And it was pretty much like seeing a picture of the Tokolosh attacking your wife. It was that disturbing.
So you sent it to me. Somebody tweeted his final lunch in the White House, and I posted it to the Baller Lifestyle Facebook group.
Oh, so, you did?
Yeah, it's there because I need some the picture
as
doesn't show up.
As simple as it is, there's a lot to unpack in this picture.
Our buddy Melly Kanea responded, no wonder he was forced to resign. Unfortunately, the picture, I posted it from my phone and the picture didn't show up. Like Twitter and Facebook.
Just click on it.
You got to click on it. Yeah.
So, first of all, should we go with the meal or should we go with the beverage?
Well, it's a combined thing. I would start
meal. It's like a dinner tray, watching TV while eating. It's weird that the president's place setting is on some sort of folding table.
But I do like that if you look, if you kind of take in the room around it, he's got the same – in the White House, he had the same wicker rattan dining set that my grandma had around that same time.
It did look like my nana's set.
I feel like it could be – it would have been a little more upscale.
Oh, it is a silver tray. I was thinking it was a wicker tray. No, it's a silver.
It's a silver tray, but there's I definitely see
linoleum.
So that's the
classiest part of the picture.
Yes.
Because you've got full-on nana situation.
No, this has been served to him because it's on the presidential plate. Like it's on a silver platter, literally.
And
with a knife and fork. I don't know what the knife's knife for.
If you need a knife for this meal, there's something wrong. But also, I know they've got to spruce up the napkin display, but this is the saddest napkin display I've seen.
It really is.
It looks like if we asked my youngest son to make a perfect square and he just kind of It's like me folding a fitted sheet.
Yeah, it's just
not
like,
quite there.
It's kind of like somebody's trying to do a pocket square and they're trying to do a fancy one and they're just, you know, like looks like somebody's about to stuff it in their suit and it's just not going to work out properly.
No. So he's got that knife and fork, and why does he have a knife and fork?
I don't know. I don't know what the knife's for.
A delicious fruit. Let's start with the best part of the meal. Pineapple.
Pineapple's great, but now...
Do you need a knife and fork for pineapple? Okay, but what if I said, let's nicely display, cut up pineapple on a plate.
Oh, also...
But then let's take in a giant ice cream scooper.
Yes.
Of cottage cheese and put it in the middle.
It should be noted, like, I don't know if Hawaii was a state at this point. I'm pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure it rolled in the 50s. But this is very clearly...
Yeah, I think 49, yeah, think, this, maybe, or 50. One was like, 49. Alaska's 49, Hawaii was 50.
Yeah.
Something like that.
This is very clearly canned pineapple. And I'm the president of the United States, and I'm into pineapple. I want some fucking fresh pineapple. Like, it's very easy to acquire fresh pineapple in this day and age, and I can't imagine it was too much more difficult in the 70s. Right. But they're giving the prez canned pineapple.
You only do this move to a president, well, two reasons. One, because you know he's fucking out the door tomorrow. And two, because he doesn't know better. That he's a classless boob.
But when you're the president, you get whatever you want. Like, he asked specifically.
Yes, but if this is his last day, don't you think there were some people? I mean, I have to think this was this date in 1974.
Yeah.
Water break was Watergate. 2 years. Watergate was breaking.
Right.
That's what I was trying to say. Watergate was breaking for the previous 2 years. You knew the end was nigh.
Yeah.
So I got to think the guys in the kitchen were like, I mean, what's he going to do? Fire us?
Right.
You know? Like,
the president wants lunch and just send up whatever. He couldn't be like, I'll have a turkey sandwich. You know how like Nick Saban... He's too focused on football, so he can't think about what he's going to have for lunch because he's thinking about coaching. He's thinking about his next opponent and recruiting. So every day at the same time, they bring him the exact same turkey sandwich. So he never has to think about it. Maybe it's the same for Nixon. He got his canned pineapple and single scoop of cottage cheese at exactly the same time.
Well, if he was eating the same thing every day for lunch – there's no way he would have gotten a second term. If this is what a man chooses for his only lunch.
True.
Canned pineapple with an ice cream scoop of cottage cheese right in the middle.
Yeah. And what?
Yeah, and then at least
beverage.
You know, yeah, at least if you can wash it down.
Like, I'm leaving the White House, and Nixon was a well-known drunk. So
of course, he would. The tapes would have him slurring words at the end of the night.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, bring me a can of Original Coors or Pabst Blue Ribbon or something American. I'm the president of the United States of America. This is the last day. I'm having my last lunch. I'm a drunk. Bring me a fucking beer.
I need something stiff to wash down this canned pineapple with cottage cheese.
Yeah.
How about a tall glass of Moo Juice?
It's just – I was like, was he 7 years old when he resigned the presidency? Because he's got a giant glass of milk.
Yeah. It's not like he had some cookies to dip that he was at least going out a little dessert swirl.
Right.
No, he's just going to wash down pineapple with milk.
Yeah, it's not like he's got a bowl of dry frosted flakes there to pour it over.
He's just going to drink it down.
Drink some fucking milk with his pineapple. citrus. I'm not a milk drinker. Citrus and milk, that's just nothing worse, right?
Yeah, I got to think there was a lot of stomach aching going on the helicopter on the way out. After he flashed the V sign,
yeah,
it was the D sign for diarrhea.
He was like, peace out, yeah.
Yeah, peace out. I got to shit my brains out on whatever Air Force One helicopter is.
That's so funny. Yeah, check that out, guys. I put it on our Facebook, and I just made a screenshot and added the picture for those of you like me that are too lazy to click links. Yeah. We have an email here. It just came in, okay. And it's just for you. I'm not allowed to respond to this one. Hey, Ed. For some reason, even after I run my underwear through the laundry, it still tends to have remnants.
Oh, wow.
Hold on. I hate that word. It's a trigger word for me. It still tends to have remnants of the foul smell that was there when I take them off and put them in the hamper. What's the best way to get that out while I'm washing my underwear? For the record, I only go with boxer briefs and boxers. Kevin near DC.
Kev, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Have you tried detergent?
Yeah. Or switch up the detergent.
I'm a Tide Pod guy.
Oh, are you? You smoke them?
I chuck a couple Tide Pods in there.
You chew them up for the high?
There's one bullshit thing about these Tide Pods.
Yeah.
They tell you for a large load,
yeah,
you got to put in two.
Oh, that's bullshit.
I mean, can't you make it to make a Tide Pod that is one? Because who does extra small loads of laundry?
Well, you fill
up the basket.
Some people do, and there's somebody that's not here that'll be here later that I would argue does too big a load of laundry.
It can go too big.
It can go too big.
Do you ever do it with like five items of clothing?
No.
You do it with like a full amount.
If I've suddenly realized that, oh my God, I need this one pair of pants. I remember like when I used to work in restaurants and I'd be like, oh fuck, I haven't washed my tuxedo pants for work. I gotta fucking wash those real quick. Then I would do just like throw a few things in there or whatever. But no, you do a full load.
Tuxedo pants in the washing machine?
I have like black pants. I mean, Tide Pods. Are you fucking Ed Rockefeller Daily?
What do you mean?
Ed Daily Carnegie? Andrew Carnegie Daily?
Well, I get those 78 packs, those giant things, and then I don't think about it for a while.
Are you a robber baron?
I wear a top hat only when I
that's high end. Don't
do the laundry.
Don't believe this bullshit that big detergent's trying to sell you though. I go to Costco and I get the tub that like has a little pour spout on it. And they give the liquid? Yeah, they give you a little cup and they're like, fill this whole fucking cup to the top. And I'm like, give me that bullshit. Fill the cup to the top. I fill it like a third of the way.
Wow.
And it's fine. That shit suds up. Yeah, no, 100%. I know. I'm aware. I got one of those washers where you can see through the front door. I got a front loader.
But have you gotten confirmation from someone who lives outside the house? Because you know how people must think that they've got an okay smell.
Oh, no, I got a great smell.
The true confirmation is outside the house.
No, I got a great smell. I got a fantastic
smell. We went to a little kids show thing that had to do with camp, and I sat in front of a guy who smelled like a hobo's bindle.
Yeah, it happens.
And guess what language you're speaking?
English.
French.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That doesn't surprise me. I had a guy come into my office to audit me today, and we'll get into the details. He worked for the county. Mm. He came in and hopefully he's not listening, but he was a rotund fella. And he had that look like exactly like you would picture
Jake and the Fat Man kind of look.
Yeah. He had like he had a 70s look, but he appeared to be a young guy. Like he had a brown tie and a tan short sleeve dress shirt and
pants. Nobody under 60 has worn that look.
He looked like DB Cooper ate like four DB Coopers and then went bald. he was of that. He was of a different time, but he was a young guy. But anyway, he was there all day, and I had the air on. But I noticed that he was a bigger guy, and he was sitting across from me, and I noticed
saddlebags.
Yeah, definitely. He had big. He was fat. I noticed that throughout the day, like his scent.
He's pitting out.
Yes, it slowly came on. And I'm like, oh, it kind of stinks in here. And then it kind of got stronger. And I'm like, oh my God, it's this fucking guy. This guy's giant fat body is secreting something. And I've been in a room with him the whole day. And it's just what happens to this guy. It's just how he functions.
What kind of temperature are you talking?
No, I keep the air like 70.
You're not one of these monsters. Oh.
What? What's that, too warm?
72 is the max.
The max. Oh, really? You don't. Yes. You put it down to 60?
No, but I'm saying daytime temperature, 72 is the hottest it can be.
Oh, I do 73.
73 is just enough to make you a little agitated.
Well, you know, I definitely, when it turns, I will notice, I'll be like, when the temperature's creeping up, I'll be kind of like, when's that air going to come on? And then it clicks on. So maybe if I had it at
70. Yeah, so if you go 72, I wouldn't notice that. You don't have that feeling. Yeah, you know what I mean? Notice that. Like, yeah. You're not kind of just pissed off that you're not feeling anything yet.
Yeah. I'm worried about Kevin near DC here. He needs to switch brands maybe.
Well, it seems like a couple things.
Yeah, what's going on? Oh, he's asked your advice only, so go ahead.
Well, this is a team effort, but yeah. Number one, I hope flushable wipes are involved.
I don't want to be smelling ass, Kevin.
I mean, I fear he's describing bacon strips.
Well, yeah, and he used the word, and I'm...
Don't use it. R word.
I don't want to say it again, but I will. Remnants.
Yeah. You don't get remnants.
Oh, God. It sounds so much worse when you say it.
You don't get the R word. I'm not saying everything smells great at the end of the day. Yeah. But the R word appears when there's not wipes involved.
Yeah. You got to clean yourself, buddy. You got to clean your ass.
You got to figure out a system. And I have to think work is involved because they usually don't have the best paper.
Yeah.
You got to have some sort of disposable pack for that purpose.
Oh, I do that. I bring them.
Of course.
Bring them in like my messenger bag, like where I keep my computer. I got wipes in there.
Because you can get just like a little to-go version of those. You get the big container for home, but you get the little to-go version.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you get those. Definitely. Here's another thing. Kevin near D.C.
Mm-hmm. PG County Kev, I think.
Yeah. It's real humid out there, Ed. It's the summer right now.
Yeah.
It's fucking hot. It's humid.
Those cicadas and the humidity. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Maybe he like takes the subway to work or something, or some kind of. He's got to be
the metro down there.
Yeah, he's got to be outside for a while, and you get those balls get going. Mm-hmm. You know, and it happens quick. All this, you're like, oh, I'm fine. Just got out of the shower. I'm ready to go. And you get outside, and all of a sudden, boom,
0 to 100.
Those balls start to sweat. That's why I recommend a little Gold Bond powder. Handful, and don't just liberally apply it, Kev. You get it all on the balls and the inner thighs. Get it all around the balls, like up towards the dick on either side, and then on the thighs. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, that noise.
In the taint, get it all in that area. Because that's, you got something going on in your area that's a little funky, and it's not washing out, and you can prevent. You got a defensive strategy. You're like Buddy Ryan thinking defense wins championships. And I'm telling you right now, Tom Brady, he throws
best
for about
defense
five,
is six, a good offense.
Yeah, 500-600 yards. He's fucking scoring at will. Guy's got six or five, however many. I think he's got five Super Bowls.
But to your point about you go with the Costco route, I go with the Tide Pods.
Yep.
But I know when we're in London, if that's a weird thing when you all of a sudden have to buy detergent and you don't know any of the brands, but it still works.
Yeah.
So I think it's because there's too much on there to start. That's what I'm thinking. Because every detergent I've used, it smells like that detergent after it's done.
Or maybe switch brands. You know how sometimes they say, and this never happens to me because I'm not like a real smelly person, but they say like use the same deodorant for too long, it'll quit on you. Doesn't work anymore. All of a sudden, oh my God, I put on my Mitchum this morning. I stink, smell bad. And it's because you got to switch brands, switch it up. Don't be afraid. Like maybe you've been like a surf guy. And I'm not saying, Kevin, I don't know your financial situation, but I'm not saying step up to the Jeff Bezos level Tide Pods that Ed Daly's going with, but maybe just like go check out a different brand. Doesn't have to be more expensive. Just like switch off and see what a new brand does. Also, throw all those underwear away and start fresh. How much is a pack of underwear? Yeah. Like $9 for three.
Get some wipes and clean slate.
You know, I don't have this issue because I don't wear any underwear unless I'm at the gym when I wear the gym kind. Rest of my life, I'm just
maybe my reasoning is because I don't go boxer briefs. I go full boxer. I want something that approximates not wearing underwear.
Yeah.
And then because I don't want anything hugging anything.
He does both. This guy.
But I need the protection.
Yeah, just in case.
I just don't like the feeling.
Yeah.
Of just pants.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that head, the glands of your penis.
Right. Exactly.
Rubbing on your fucking jeans. I get that.
Yeah.
Let us know how it goes, Kevin. We're
thoughts and prayers, buddy. Yeah,
good for you, buddy. Ed, I saw this week, and I love when shit like this happens.
Love it.
Every college football coach you can name is probably the biggest piece of shit you could ever meet.
Like except for Mark Richt. He seems like a real like...
Oh, yeah. He seems all right.
God-squatting guy, but seems like very decent.
Chip Kelly seems okay. He's got a beer belly.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Yeah, no, he's a bachelor.
He's a football coach who seems to hate black people when he got to the Eagles.
What? Is that true? No.
Yes.
Wait, he cut all the black guys. They didn't fit his system.
No, but LeSean McCoy is a piece of shit.
Shady?
But he was one guy... But all of these guys were like, yeah, he came in and he seemed to not like black people.
No, he signed that guy from the Cowboys who just retired. What was his name?
He didn't sign T.O.
No, not T.O. The running back. Who was a running back that was real good on the Cowboys? And then he was a free agent.
Him?
Yeah, and then he went to Philly.
DeMarco Murray?
DeMarco Murray. Love that guy.
Nah.
Okay. You know who's a nice guy?
He's not a decent guy.
You know who I know is a decent guy? But I don't think he's a coach anymore because he's probably too nice of a guy. He was the coach at Oregon State.
And then Mike Riley.
Mike Riley. And then Nebraska. To Nebraska.
Everybody talks about what a swell guy he was.
Very friendly guy. And he could compete at Oregon State with all those Samoan JUCO transfers that he'd get.
Right.
That was a good place
for him. He went to the Heartland and the Samoans didn't want to come.
Didn't work. You can't get the Samoans to go there. You got to do it with the corn-fed white boys.
Corn.
You got wheat. What you got to do is you got to run the fucking spread, not the spread, the option. You got to run the fucking option. That's the only way to win at Nebraska. Go back to the old school style of football.
He used to have a pretty badass offense with Oregon State. Yeah, he had Jaquizz Rodgers and Chad Johnson and TJ Hosemanzada. Yeah, he had some good players. And then I don't know, maybe I just backed.
Right,
two guys before his job, but those are all the guys I could name from Oregon State.
So speaking of just giant pieces of shit.
Speaking of OSU, not Oregon State.
Right, Ohio State, their head coach, Urban Meyer, everyone seems to think he's a good guy. What's going on with him?
Yeah, remember when he had the fake heart attack when things were going bad?
He's a big faker.
Yeah. Fuck him. So over the last week, the biggest story in college football broke. In short... the great but recently fired by ESPN college football reporter Brett McMurphy learned that Urban Meyer had a domestic abuser on his staff. And essentially there's a 99.99% chance that Irving Myers knew about it, tried to lie about it, and ultimately got caught. And at like Big Ten Media Days, he was playing dumb like a week ago, and it seems very implausible. The abuser assistant football coach Zach Smith was shown the door, and Urban was put on paid leave while they investigate, because there would be a big circus and practice just started. So they just said, you know, stay on your couch. We'll look into this and we'll decide what to do with you. Well,
stunning. He should have been fired immediately, by the way. Like, this is
no paid leave. Paid leave.
Okay, go on.
Well, this didn't sit well with the goobers in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
About 100 to 200 Buckeye fans showed up at the stadium and held a rally for a guy who's being paid $6.4 million to sit at home.
Oh, right. Well, they held a rally in support of the woman that was being abused by the football coach. And they're like, hey, don't, you know, like, don't hit women and don't, you know, make them live in fear that you're going to kill them every day. Right. They were like,
yeah, right.
You're supporting the woman.
You're leading young men. You're teaching them ropes.
Right.
Yeah, and one white guy actually showed up holding a sign that said, Me Too. But then underneath it said, Me Too, I support Urban Meyer.
Oh, my God.
Imagine
that. Imagine being that guy. Imagine what his life is like. Go on.
My favorite was there were a handful of anti-ESPN signs as well. And as I brought up in the beginning of the story, Brett McMurphy was fired by ESPN. He broke this story on Facebook because he's like a great reporter.
Dude.
And he's just promoting the brand of Brett McMurphy, but he's not on ESPN.
I bet he's got a job now.
Yeah. So the leader of these goobers, a guy by the name of Tennessee Jeff, released the following statement.
That's not even the right state. How can you root for Ohio State if your fucking name is Tennessee Jeff?
Work. I'm sure he has a great job.
They don't even border each other.
No, but he must have some high-level work in Tennessee. But anyway, he said, this has nothing to do with our ex-wide receiver coach or the accusations against him with his ex-wife. I don't want to talk about that. I don't condone what he's accused of. I don't condone any of that stuff. This is not why I'm here. This is not why I drove 12 hours and you guys are standing out in 95-degree heat to talk about what he did or didn't do. One of the few people of color at the rally to support the Buckeye coach and domestic violence enabler was Ezekiel Elliott's dad, who you might remember his son missed some time last season, like 6 games for beating up a woman.
Yeah.
So, Brian, how delightful is it to think that this mouth breather, Tennessee Jeff, showed up to hold a rally for a guy who's getting paid millions of dollars to do nothing?
It's just like you're so fucking pathetic. Like it's a
12-hour drive for that.
Yeah, and it's a football team. Also, a 12-hour drive is a flight. Get on a fucking airplane. There's nowhere that's worth driving 12 hours. Go drive 45 minutes, get on a fucking airplane and fly there because 12 hours is too far to drive.
I can understand the 4 to 5 hour where you're like, this is really expensive flight. Yeah. Like I'm going to have to gut out this drive. 12 hours.
What are you doing, buddy? And to go support
Irving
Myers.
And the rally was like an hour.
Irving Myers would not fucking piss on you if you were on fire. Like he doesn't give a fuck about you.
He's never even smiled.
No,
that guy has never smiled.
He gives a fuck about Irving Myers. Like that's what he cares about. That's why he's so successful, because he only gives a fuck about himself. That's how
he's
achieved
that level.
And when things
are going bad, he has fake heart attacks.
Yes, exactly. Friend of the show, Travis Rogers, has a very funny impression of him talking about how he wrote down on a piece of – I took out a piece of notebook paper. Yeah, I wrote on a piece of notebook paper to my daughter. It's really funny. I'm not doing it justice.
Right.
Fuck Urban Meyer. Fuck the Ohio State. Like just don't – just because you like something, like for instance, if eventually I get that – John McEnroe tattoo on my leg that I've been wanting. I don't even like leg tattoos, but it's the only place it's going to fit. My upper thigh. If I ever get that John McEnroe tattoo, or maybe on my ribs. But the thing is, I have a tattoo on my ribs already, and it fucking hurts so bad.
I was just going to say, I would think that would hurt a lot. It's
apparently the most painful place, hands down, to get a tattoo, and I can attest to that. So I don't know if I can handle getting one on my other ribs. But here's the point. If, now, Tatum O'Neill, she said some stuff about John McEnroe, but I think, no, she's a little bit nuts. And so we don't know. Definitively, he's had a very long, happy marriage to Patti Smythe from Scandal, the hit song The Warrior from the 1980s. If by chance I had that tattoo of John McEnroe, who's my favorite athlete of all time, and I found out that he was fucking, buggering kids or hiding abusers, like, I would be able to say, hey, this guy I got a tattoo of, he's a piece of shit. And I'm kind of bummed I have this tattoo now. Like, I'm not like so tied to him. Take, for instance, I'm a Dodger fan. I love the Dodgers. And for a long time, the manager of the Dodgers was Tommy Lasorda.
Terrible and dude.
I met Tommy Lasorda one time.
Met him. He's too.
Bit of a prick. Like, wasn't really a nice guy. And so I'm not going to fucking drive 12 hours.
Little history lesson for you with Tommy Lasorda being a piece of shit. Oh, guy who invented the high five.
Yeah. Oh, Glenn Burke.
Glenn Burke.
Yes.
Gay guy.
Gay guy.
Had his first high five with, I believe, was it Don Baylor?
Maybe. No, Dusty Baker.
Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
Other DB.
Right.
Had the high five with Dusty Baker. Had a promising start to his career. Word was, he was banging Tommy Lasorda's gay son.
Yeah, Scooter.
Got run out of town because Tommy Lasorda wanted to pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's absolutely, that is.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Tommy Lasorda's son died of AIDS. And you know who will never say that? Tommy Lasorda.
Tommy. Just had a bad cough.
He's a piece of shit. So if you're fucking, if you're jerking off Urban Meyer, like, maybe take a look in the mirror. Because
he doesn't care about you.
He doesn't care about you and you're a piece of shit. Speaking of pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Trump, he made a tweet about L.A. Laker legend LeBron James. Well, I didn't catch that. What was that all about?
So we discussed last week, LeBron dropped like $100 million, some crazy amount of money, to open a school for poor kids in Akron. In an interview when, you know, trying to promote it or people asking about the school, he mentioned that he believes sports should unite the country instead of dividing us, as that shitbag Trump has been trying to do with the anthem bullshit.
Yep.
So anyway, the fragile ego president lashed out in a tweet saying LeBron and the interviewer Don Lemon were stupid since he frequently insults black people that way. At the end of his tweet, he wrote, "I like Mike," a clear reference to Michael. "I'll try to be as bland as possible so I can have no character but sell lots of sneakers, Jordan."
Republicans buy shoes too, Ed. Yeah.
Remember when a guy wrote to us saying, "Hey, why can't you be more like Jordan with Republicans buy sneakers too?"
Yeah.
Like, that was something to aspire to be.
Right.
Fucking piece of shit. Yeah. So what was the soulless basketball Hall of Famer to do? Side with a president who hates black people or stand up for the guy who just dropped $100 million to help poor kids?
Right.
Jordan replied in the most Jordan way ever. "I support LJ," Jordan told NBC News through his spokesperson. "He's doing an amazing job for his community."
Well, I mean.
So, Brian.
He could have said nothing. I mean, he said next to nothing.
He tried to say nothing. Yeah. I'm surprised Ahmad Rashad didn't speak on his behalf. Now, Brian, what's worse? Jordan's baseball career, his time on the Wizards, or this wet noodle of a response?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like obviously he could have said more, but I don't feel like Jordan's a real deep thinker, and I don't feel like, other than pussy and gambling, he's got a lot of opinions worth sharing. He was drawn into something by a piece of shit, and that he was just out of his league. So I don't, you know, it was a weak response, but I don't think it was really out of character. I would have been shocked if he had said something more.
It didn't surprise me, his response, but it was terrible.
Yeah, it was. And he had a chance to do something, and he didn't.
And again, this isn't Republican Democrat. Like, if you're a fan of what Trump has done, that's more party over country bullshit. That's not. Yeah, he's a terrible dude.
Yeah,
terrible dude. Guy. And then one other critique I saw, a conservative talking point I saw people pushing around, that LeBron has gotten liberals to believe in a charter school. This is not a charter
school. It's a public
school. This is a public school.
Yeah.
Charter schools are run like private companies, and sometimes it works, or in the entire state of Michigan, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But anyway, LeBron made it clear this is in line with the public schools. It's run with public school curriculum. It just has some cool backstory. But really, this is not a good thing that we need saviors like LeBron to save the inner city, but I mean, not that it's fact, but yeah, things like season 4 of The Wire are why you need saviors to step in, because it's just, they're just, nobody cares about these schools.
I read something that was talking about how much richer Jeff Bezos is than LeBron James.
Yeah.
And that how he could do what LeBron James did like thousands of times over if he wanted to.
Yep.
It's kind of like instead of sending our dearest and most precious commodity, our service members, to go over and police the world and get their fucking legs blown off in Humvees, if we had just gone some places and dug some wells instead, we would be seen in a much better light in those places.
But the problem is, as you pointed out, I think last week, brown people are scary.
That's right.
So
that's right. We got to keep them scary.
Or are you saying look out for white people?
Yeah,
we got to
keep them scary. I'm just saying. Yeah, it's an amazing thing he did. He's a fantastic Laker and an even better human being.
Legendary Laker.
No, I can't wait. Ed.
Let's finish on the sports with a high note of a hero of the show.
Well, I was thinking. Oh yeah, yeah. One of my favorite people of all time.
Like, yeah,
always.
He was only a Knick for a few years, and I loved him. I loved every minute of it.
I love guys that have irrational confidence, and just fucking. They're like, hey, give me the ball because I'm the fucking best person on the court. Like, I'm the best guy out here. Give me the fucking ball and I'm going to shoot it 25 times.
And I saw a profile where maybe it was in high school. Some high school coach or some scouts were asking his father, why are you only working on shooting? Why not some defensive drills? And he said, that doesn't get you paid.
Exactly right.
Hero of the show, J.R. Smith, was outside of Ten Oak Nightclub on 18th and 10th in Manhattan this past week at 2:30 a.m. when a 20-year-old fan went to take a picture of the basketball star.
You don't do that. Ask permission.
Smith told the victim, no photos. Yeah. Well, what did that 20-year-old do? Took it anyway. So what did Smith do? He chucked that cell phone across the street. Police are looking into the matter. But Brian, is J.R. Smith the hero the world needs at this time?
I mean, it would be pretty annoying to have people constantly taking your picture. But alas, if you're in public, anybody can take your picture. Like, if you don't want your picture taken, don't go in public. Now, I will say this. If you send a text to somebody privately or a DM and you say, hey, you trying to get the pipe? Like, that's probably shouldn't be shared, although it is maybe the greatest thing that's ever happened.
It raised his reputation, but.
So I get the frustration, but maybe show a little self-control, but then also you are J.R. Smith.
You know, when I first got on Instagram, I remember somebody saying, you need to follow J.R. Smith. He's great. And he was great. And then some incident where he got reprimanded by the league. And then it became a bunch of pictures of him golfing and of his daughter. Yeah, it became a horrible one to follow. He used to just take pictures of chicks laying next to him.
He golfs?
Yeah, he's a big golfer.
Really?
Which is a fun thing about him. Very. Love to see him on the golf course.
Yes.
I don't even like golf, but I like seeing J.R. Smith golf.
I didn't realize he was a golfer. Good for him. Yeah. And oftentimes I'll go to, it's a weekly routine, not every week, bi-weekly probably. Me and my betrothed, the two of us, my betrothed and I, will head out on Sunday, the worst day of the week, and go to Costco.
It's got to be a zoo.
It's a zoo. The parking, I get super angry about the parking. But then you get into the store and it gets even worse because there's this thing now where at stores where there's like wipes and you can like disinfect the cart. I've seen people doing this.
Oh, as you walk in?
Yeah, as you walk in. I don't know why. Yeah. I've never done it. I don't know why. It seems like sort of a false sense of just wash your hands. Like go to the store and when you get done at the store, wash your hands. But every time I go to Costco, there's somebody, usually an older woman, and she'll be standing there directly in front of the big warehouse door where everybody's coming into Costco, and she'll stop and she'll be fucking wiping down the handle of that cart. Mm. And no one can get around her, and she's right in the middle, and she's so fucking clueless, and she just doesn't realize. And I'm like, there's a better place to do that. And she still doesn't get it, and it's just happens every time, and I should just learn to deal with it. But yeah, then, then you get in the store and you're walking around, and Sundays is sample day. And I'll be honest,
it's just Sundays.
Well, no, but it's, I think the busier times, there's more sampling happening.
Gotcha.
And once in a while, if I'm cruising by and I see a meatball or a piece of spicy sausage, and there's no one around, I'm grabbing one of those and I'm eating it. But a lot of times I'll be coming up an aisle and there'll be a massive crowd in front of me. And I'll be like, what is going on here? This is just huge crowd. And there's people.
Like there's a breakdancing exhibition.
Yes. There's like people queued up and they're kind of elbowing in. And I'll look over. It's like a corner of a piece of bread with some butter on it.
Or people are animals.
Yeah, or a tortilla chip, a pita chip with a little bit of
some watery salsa.
Yeah, or a little bit of hummus. And it's like, dude, like you're waiting for that. You're like,
an adult.
Yeah, you're like really going at it. And it's what? It's a bite of food. It's a bite of not that good of food. I don't even wait for the good stuff. I'll just keep walking because it's bad for my look to hang out and wait.
Before you get to the meat of the story, yeah. In the last week, yeah. For the first time in my life, I bought something because of the sample.
Oh, really? What was it?
They had a little setup. Uh-huh. It was like a little turkey on a toothpick.
Oh, yeah.
Horseradish mustard.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
And they were selling the dipping sauce. Yes. So I did a little dip and I was like,
that's delicious.
This is fucking tremendous. And I just grabbed a bottle of the horseradish mustard.
Yeah, that shit works.
So good.
That shit works.
That's the first time a sample has ever worked. They still waiting for my first banner ad to work.
They've suckered me. They've suckered me before. Actually, not suckered, but sometimes they'll have like these spicy, like hormone free. Humanely raised cow sausages, and they right, trick
so you're
you.
Feeling they're like not so bad about
and eating. And they're just delicious. And they're like, oh, we only have these today. Or not.
You fell for the mattress salesman move.
We're about to sell out of these, and I'm like,
I'm going to go check with the manager in the back, see if I can give these to you.
I got hard closed, but the thing is, it was really good. I probably would have bought it anyway. If they had 1,000 of them, I probably would have bought them anyway. These guys in Greenville, South Carolina, they, oh, this is another thing at Costco that I notice. A lot of times people won't have a cart, and it's usually,
what are they doing?
It's usually old people, and they're just bumping around getting samples, sampling things. Like, they got nothing better to do.
They've got nothing to do.
A lot of times I'll see somebody will have samples backed up in their hands in those little portion cups. They'll have like four or five in one hand as they're going around, like grabbing, helping themselves, getting a little more. And then they just have like a little picnic in the Costco. Mm. And that sounds like what's going on here. Police in Greenville, South Carolina are investigating a reported assault involving two men, ages 70 and 72. So Alex Jones and one other guy that started when one allegedly cut in front of the other in a free sample line at Costco. The reported victim, 70, says he was struck by the suspect, 72. That happened after the suspect reportedly cut in front of the victim in a free cheese sample line at Costco.
Oh, no.
On July 26th. Ed, have you ever, or how many times do you recall having to let your hands go over a nibble of a taquito?
I've had my fair share of taquito-related Donnybrooks. I've had a fracas or two over cheese cubes.
Oh, I love Donnybrook. Yeah, you know, it was probably like one of those string cheese things that never go bad for some reason that you give to your kid to shut them up.
Yeah, totally natural. Yeah, just won't go bad.
Yeah, you ever. Know, they just, you know, it's just like a little millimeter section of that cut off and put in a little cup. Like, who would even wait in line for that, much less like start throwing their hands about it?
And you know they're so old, they were doing the old-timey fighting stance like Mark Ratner in the locker room.
Yeah, with their hands up, like with the elbows palms out, facing the other guy. Yeah. Not their palms, the back of their hand. With their the hands back of their hand. Upside down.
Yeah, elbows closest to the guy. Yeah. And your fists are close to your chin.
So good.
The old John L. Sullivan.
Yeah. Just be careful at Costco, guys. Okay. I'm going to do one more of these because I want to get to fancy sauce. And I think we have to discuss the startup company that, you know, there's these days perks. Everybody's got perks. So, and it's like the millennial generation. Well,
you could combine these stories. Yeah. There was a perk that the New York branch of the KKK.
Yeah, that's true. So the KKK apparently is still a thing. And yeah. they were
in New York.
Yeah, they're recruiting in New York, which I don't think that's really a great idea. I feel like you'd probably need to keep that pretty low key. I did see a video, I think it was in Chicago, of a gentleman on the about to board the L train that was using the N-word. A white guy was using the N-word very loudly, and an African-American gentleman said, "Hey, don't say that again." And then he said it again, and then the African-American gentleman knocked him off the platform. So I feel like New York is a similar result would happen, but the KKK in New York is taking a different tact in trying to offering perks to increase membership. They're offering Snickers bars. Hey, wow. do you hate Jews, blacks, but also love peanuts and caramel? Because I've got something for you here. It's a Snickers bar. Do you think they were doing full size like Bruce Springsteen does at Halloween?
Yeah. Do you think they did full ads like a guy on the L? Or I'm sorry. No, on the New York City subway between two Hasidim. It says, "Want to get away?"
Well, similarly to that perk, There's another company. I don't know how that worked out for the KKK. Not very good, I assume.
Not good.
You know, now, like, they make fun of it on Silicon Valley, where it's like the company's supposed to be like Google or, you know, one of those, Apple or whatever. And it's like they're doing yoga, and they're, you know, the CEO's got a guru, and there's the full kitchen.
Right.
And it's like these companies are set up. Like, these companies that have a lot of VC
but there's
funding.
There's an arms race of bullshit.
Right. And it's like, really, you just care that you're getting paid, that you can come and go as you please, and that your boss isn't an asshole, and that you feel like you're doing something important, and you feel valued is what's important. And having free Cheerios in the kitchen is not going to do that. I worked at a company like this once where they were like, hey, we have like Nescafe. And I'm like, give me more money. I don't give a shit. But this, somebody's on to something at this place called AI Labs. And it just hasn't gone over too well, but maybe, you know, a lot of times people don't realize, like Nikola Tesla.
No, it's probably fine. Yeah. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. This woman is complaining about the Silicon Valley startups, quote, sexually charged office culture. First of all, I'm in. Like, that's a lot of cool
buzzwords in there.
That's a perk for me. which included a designated area for masturbation and a chief technology officer, always a weirdo, who took his pants off in a meeting with one of his employees. She's suing. What a buzzkill. Like, just go get a job where there's people keep their pants on. Plaintiff Rachel Moore, a former director of product for the company, is suing Pilot AI Labs. It sounds like an app. Which reportedly sells artificially intelligent algorithms. So this is like supreme nerds.
Like this is a Skynet, yeah, without pants.
Like those guys, Boston Dynamics, that build that robot that looks like a deer that you can't kick over. Like those guys
I don't like that.
No, those guys are pretty big nerds. But these artificial intelligent algorithm guys are like the nerds of, like, those guys have to buy their shit from these guys. Her suit was filed Wednesday in San Francisco. Moore says that she was one of the startup's first few female employees, and that CTO Robert English frequently made sexual remarks about her body, including commenting on her buttocks and asking if she was wearing, quote, fuck me boots.
Oh, no.
One of the servers she was supposed to work on was named Deep Head, a reference to oral sex. Oh, I didn't get that. According to the lawsuit, English told her that he participated in a quote in an anal sex workshop at Burning Man led by a famous porn star.
Oh no.
The 24-year-old's lawsuit claims that men watch pornography at the office. What is this? The Dallas Mavericks? And that the server area was used for masturbation. According to the complaint, an intimate knowledge of the porn industry and lingo appeared to be a job requirement. Ed, what is more dangerous than allowing the nerds to take over?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing is more dangerous than the nerds are in charge taking over.
Yeah.
Because there's something especially gross about a nerd talking sexually.
Super gross.
I used to hate. I worked with all kinds of goons.
Yeah.
But I did work with some MIT Carnegie Mellon kind of nerds that found a way to monetize that.
Yeah.
And when they would try to talk about sex and women, it felt really gross.
So gross.
Or something especially disturbing about a nerd trying to drum up locker room talk, well, as they say.
Yeah, because they're awkward dudes.
Yeah.
They're awkward, and they never really were able to get it together, and all they wanted was to get some pussy. That's all they wanted.
And number two is all they want is to be included with the guys.
Yeah,
it's real disturbing when these guys get some money and then they start to forget that they are disturbing people.
Yeah, it's kind of like when the 40-year-old virgin tries to lie and say that he's had sex before, and it's pretty obvious that he
and has. He's his breasts feel like a bag of sand.
Yes, exactly. Well, good. But hey, like sometimes you got to get it out. These guys work long hours, and a lot of times shit gets backed up. You know, you're coding for 16, 17 hours a day. I remember one time I was working for this, doing like PR. And this is back when you couldn't, like, the files were too big to send that we needed to put on some website I was working on. Mm-hmm. So I had to go over to this other company and get like a CD with a bunch of pictures on it or something. And so I went over there and I went into their office, and the guy was like the head guy there.
Yeah.
And his desktop on his computer was some fucking porn star. And it was like right there in the middle of the office. And I was like,
what was going on?
It's a fucking porno chick is like your wallpaper of your computer. And there's like other people around.
I guess it's what 13-year-old boys would do.
Yes.
Right. But they just haven't been in circulation. They haven't been with real people.
It's like having a poster of Heather Thomas on your wall. Like everybody had that when they were 12, but you don't, when you get to your adult, you decorate your adult house. You don't have a poster of Heather Thomas in a bikini in your living room because you outgrew that. These guys, they're stunted.
Now to flip genders, one time, there was some nerdy
Caitlyn Jenner
girl who had nerdy girl who started working at UBS, and in her little area, she hung up a picture of Gordon Gekko.
Well, she was going for
it. It was so disturbing.
She was going for it. She wanted to
Did you understand he was supposed to be the villain of the movie, right? What?
Ed, greed is good. He had that fucking brick cell phone back when nobody had those shits. Like the slick back hair. Guy was the man. Yeah,
it was disturbing. She was definitely like trying to build an image around herself.
Yeah. Speaking to somebody that's got an image.
Yeah.
She is.
She's ready.
She's ready. You may have heard her in the background earlier.
A little ruckus.
She doesn't make much noise. She's very quiet. Just ask her. She joins us each and every week, and I have to do one of these long intros because she's never quite ready. She's appears to be looking for a beverage right now. The beverage that she needs each and every week. But she, if you ask her, she'll tell you. She is one of the most prepared people ever. Oh, she's going to mess with the mic. Oh my God, we ran out of music. Joining us now is our very own pop culture correspondent, Fancy Sauce. How are you, Fancy?
I feel like you're gaslighting. I've been sitting here the whole time, ready to go. Yes.
No, that's true. I'm lying. It's when this goes to video.
Why are you so rude, Brian?
When this goes to, when we get somebody to invest in this show and we can do a video, a YouTube streaming video show.
I'm going to have to renegotiate my contract if I'm going to be on camera.
That's true. I've thought about that because it's a whole different ball game. Like you'd have to be made up and hair.
You're going to have to get me hair and makeup. Yes, the whole and a thing. Stylist.
And me. And me. I couldn't do it shirtless, or could I? I probably would do it shirtless. We'd probably get a lot more listeners if I did, viewers. Okay. Email. Kate, do you have any tattoos? He even spelled it out as tattoos. Thanks. That's from Dean. Kate, do you have any tattoos?
Hi, Dean. I do not have any tattoos.
But you are getting my name inked somewhere. Are you going to get my name? Here's an idea. It looks like a bar sign, and it says, but it, you know, like a pub,
like a neon sign.
Oh yeah. It could be like that. We could spitball ideas. Mm-hmm. And it says Brian's place, and you get it just above.
Like Archie Bunker's place.
Yes. And you get it just above your
Open for business? Because mine would say closed for business.
No, it's at Brian's place. Get it? So they
permanently closed, Brian.
Any other? Like, I heard this week that Kelsey Grammer, his wife, who's like 35 years younger than him.
Camille?
No, his wife, Kate, K-A-Y-T-E, mm-hmm. made him get her name tattooed right next to his dick. Kate. Oh. K-A-Y-T-E. Just in case he ever goes to put that right, in somebody.
Right between tossed salad and scrambled
That's
eggs.
Pretty funny. Exactly. Camille Grammer, his ex-wife's probably kicking herself for not thinking of that.
He wouldn't have cheated.
I will make you a deal. If you get my name tattooed on you,
yeah.
you go first, and then I'll do it.
All right.
Because you never will.
I don't want you to get any tattoos.
I know.
But you've announced that I can't get any more tattoos until like
How many do you have, Brian?
I have, I think, like six. I'm not allowed to get any more until I get one that references my betrothed, my special lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so only fair.
It's been a while since I've gotten a tattoo. here's another. Oh, guys, this is one of my favorite things. We haven't done it in a while. We got a canned conundrum.
Yeah, I can't decide. This can't conundrum for you, baby.
This might be my favorite song that our very own Rights of Bill has ever done. Kate is being naughty over here. Canned conundrum, for those of you who don't know, this is just like Daily's Choice, except it's the opposite. Kate has only a brief moment to check out one set of cans. Which one will she pick? Having recently, and this Peach Schlitzky,
I will play this game, but I would prefer if I was getting to look at something I'm more interested in.
What's that?
Penis.
Big titties?
Penises are funnier.
Yeah, they are funnier.
Well, I would like to be more interested in what someone's penis looks like.
But it's like Ed's not into penises, but he'll check yours.
No,
out.
But it's a
this is
but
my
penises
conundrum.
Are a funnier topic than yeah. breasts.
Well, let's have it. Okay, we can do it. We can do a Daly's and a Kate's choice. But this is a can conundrum, and I like this game. Having recently been hired as a location scout by the production company of the Firefest. Kate is sent to a
where it gets real weird.
Kate is sent to a Bahamian island to look for the perfect location for the festival's reboot. Late one afternoon, while gazing into the clear blue water, Kate's eyes spot flickers of light bouncing off shiny objects in the distance. I'm in the moment here. I love this. Upon arrival, to her surprise, she sees two ageless beauties in front of her. One being the near perfectly endowed Elizabeth Hurley. The other, tight and toned Heidi, the body Klum. Unbeknownst to Kate's presence, the two were gleefully taking pictures with each other's phones, trying to one-up the other with provocative poses for their Insta feeds. Knowing she could be spotted staring at these brazen beauties at any moment, Kate must make a choice. Which 40-plus, fully exposed, relevancy-requiring women would she watch? Woman.
What a mouthful.
I loved it. I happen to know that you really dislike one of these chicks, and it bums me out a lot. Because she's so hot.
Okay. She's not hot.
She's so hot.
She's not hot.
Okay, go on. Make your choice.
She's Fug.
Go on, make your choice.
Nobody's Fug here.
No, she's got perfect
hands. I'm like less than not interested in Elizabeth Hurley.
Yes.
What?
Would have to be Heidi Klum.
Oh my God.
Who's also mad annoying. No. But
she's German.
She's on this one.
But, and I also feel like, hasn't she posed nude?
Probably.
Yeah. But I'd still look at,
this is live titties.
For a son.
I'd still look at Heidi before I looked at Liz Hurley. That face.
I'd have to disagree. This Heidi Klum's got she's got a great body, but she's so annoying that I just couldn't. I would be annoyed at her from a distance. 100% I'm in on Hurley. Ed Daly, what say you?
Massive Hurley fan. The Huge. Only thing that skeeves me out is the fact that Bill Clinton had sex with
he
her.
He did?
I mean, the rap was he flew her in while Hillary was out of town.
Well,
in the White House.
There's a lot of rumors about
Also, Steve Bangin. Have you seen him?
There's a lot of room. Didn't he bang your ex-roommate?
He did for a while. I mean, you're the one that You dropped that bomb.
Some fucking rich dude. Some billionaire guy. She had a kid. He had a kid with Elizabeth Hurley, right?
Was he a loud rich guy? Or
did he make a...
kept to himself was, rich guy?
Hold on a second. Hold on. Kate.
Who's that loud comer? So proudly. Great.
Steve Bing. Loudcomer.
Well, you would be assuming that he had sex in my apartment.
No, he would only take her places. No,
he lived at the Four Seasons. Right. He's not sleeping over it.
He would like send a car. You never heard Steve Bing's.
No.
Exclaims.
Did not.
Well, luckily we have a game here. Another game.
Steve's Bings.
Gang. Here's this week's matchup. That's right. We got a loudcomer game. Hold on.
I think we got it.
Oh, I don't think so. This is my new obsession.
He comes so proudly.
I especially like... ends, there's a bunch of random
content. That loud comer coming all over.
Kids pretending not to pay attention. Okay. Loud comer game. Gang, here's this week's matchup. Best actor. Winner edition. I'll just do all four and we'll pick a winner. First round, Tom Hanks, Denzel Washington, Matthew McConaughey. Good attempt at spelling that, by the way. That's a hard word to spell. You totally blew
it. Not a great attempt. He didn't even put an N in
it. It's almost impossible to spell that name, but yeah, it was a good attempt.
Fine, but there's an N in McConaughey.
And Leo DeCaps, who's the loudest comer of the group? Tom Hanks, Denzel Washington, Matt McConaughey, or Leo DeCaps? Kate McManus, what say you?
Oh, say that again.
Oh, my God.
Hanks, Denzel, McConaughey, DiCaprio.
Who comes the loudest?
Thanks. Oh, McConaughey.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Ed Daly?
Sorry, I got distracted.
I would say McConaughey wins that. Denzel might put up a fight.
Yeah, he's pretty.
All right, okay. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Here we go. All right.
Guess who just came? All right. Guess who's about to let it go.
McConaughey is definitely full bongo.
Yes. All right. And it gets louder and more intense.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
All right.
I got a lot of feedback. Can I get a tech over here?
Wait, hold on.
That's when you get loud. That's better.
Where he's like,
Okay. Baller Lifestyle Listener Edition. Here's Leo DeCaps, he just lays there and just lets a 21-year-old do work. And then when she's done, he sends her away, right? Like, he's not.
No, yeah,
I don't feel like he makes any noise. And Tom Hanks, happily married. I mean, it's America's dad. Yeah.
Delightful.
Baller Lifestyle Edition. Okay, this will be funny because Kate won't know who any of these people are.
Guess who else doesn't know who these people are?
First round, at Telly Two Putts, at Walk Off HBP, at John of Fullerton, versus Ish in Memphis. I don't follow him, neither does anyone else, so I don't care about his at. I miss old Ish. Haven't heard from Ish in a while.
I haven't heard from him.
I don't know. He's a good dude. He gets a lot of hate on the internet. I don't know why. He's a nice guy.
I have no problem with him.
Ed Daly, of those people, who do you think? Now, Telly Two Putts is the he's the one that went on the date with the African American Trump supporter.
Okay.
Walk Off. Everyone knows Walk Off. He's very obsessed with Lisa Bizzle's that thing she was going to do for money. John of Fullerton, I feel like, would be the winner here because he likes to talk about very gross sex. So I'm going to say John. I'm just going to answer for the group, John of Fullerton.
I have no opinion on this.
No, you guys don't know who they are. Okay.
I'm going to say John, of Fullerton because he sounds.
Yeah, he likes to talk about period sex.
I mean, I like these guys. They've all provided content.
Yeah. No, they're all good guys. But how would you know how loudly they come?
I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, that's from Dolomite. Hashtag first Patreon. Hashtag PS. I hate Guy Fieri.
Not cool.
Not necessary.
We just talked about how great he was last week.
He's feeding this whole state's on fire, and he's feeding the firefighters up north.
Total hero.
Yeah, he's the man, and also great style.
Another hero I'd like to give a shout out to. Lee Peterson.
Oh yeah, he's a super Lee.
Thanks for increasing your Patreon pledge.
Oh yeah,
that deserves a shout
super
out.
Super Lee's a great
good
dude.
Man.
Thank
he's
you so
a
much.
Great dude. He lives in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Big fan of the
Gophers.
He's
a big Gopher. Very he's cool. getting ready for another Gopher season.
Yeah,
go Gophers, unless they're playing the Terps.
Do the Gophers play inside where the Vikings play now, or do they still play outside in that old freezing stadium where there's like 6 feet of snow in the stands?
I don't know, but I would think it would be a better idea to play outside for home field advantage.
Yeah, totally. Grind it out. Okay, Kate, what is going on? You come on to talk pop culture. Hold on. We got a song for that, too.
Yeah, play me
got
in.
All the songs. Hold on. I feel like we didn't do this one justice last week.
All I need is Takashi 69. Tell the lows and the beat. It's Korean hook fine. Oh, I hope he's got this to read. Cause it's all I need.
So did you guys know that the Brady Bunch house, the house that they used for exterior shots, was up for sale?
Yeah, it's for sale.
First time in 45 years.
It's actually kind of a sick mid-century design, mm-hmm. but I saw a picture of it, and whoever owns it had built like a hideous like cinder block wall that didn't match the style out the front.
You can take that down.
Yeah. Ed, were you aware of this, that the Brady Bunch house is for sale?
I had heard, and I also heard that they didn't have AstroTurf in the yard,
no.
which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it's just it's just for the outside
right.
picture. It doesn't really have the
but
one
it'd be
bathroom.
Cool if the backyard went full AstroTurf.
It would be cool.
So it had an asking price of $1.85 million, and NSYNC's own Lance Bass had the winning offer.
Now,
he was very excited.
This house is in North Hollywood, which is in the valley, and where it's very hot.
And it's a two-bedroom.
And it's very disgusting there. Mm-hmm. And I heard that the inside of this place is a real shithole. So I imagine, what do you think the premium was for it being the Brady Bunch house? I would say 100%, depending on the neighborhood.
Yeah. I don't know about the neighborhood. Right? Maybe like...
I mean, it's a two-bedroom house.
Maybe like $1 million.
But I think it's like a couple thousand square feet.
Yeah.
Lance Bass.
Obviously, it had saved some of his NSYNC money.
Renowned homosexual, yes.
He tweeted a few days ago, super excited to announce they accepted my offer on the Brady Bunch house last night. This is going to be a fun project. Unfortunately, though, I guess some corporation made an offer after Lance's was accepted.
Do you know who it was?
Just said a corporate buyer.
Oh, I know.
He claims it's a Hollywood studio.
I have more details.
Oh.
It's HGTV.
Oh.
HGTV bought the Brady Bunch house, and they're probably going to do a show about renovating it. I think they're going to make it look like it looked for the Bradys.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
I feel bad.
Almost makes me want to watch that channel.
That's pretty shady, though, that they – accepted an offer after they'd accepted his.
Well, hey, that's the game. They gotta.
It's pretty shitty when people do that kind of
thing. It is bullshit.
Yeah.
It almost happened to us with this place.
Yeah.
It started monkeying around at the last minute.
Yeah.
When you're buying something, you want to know you've bought it.
You got a good faith offer because you're about to make offers on other places. You're like, oh, wait, I've been accepted here. We don't have to pull the trigger on B House. But I don't think Lance Bass is buying it to live in it. He probably wanted to set it up.
What kind of money did a guy like that make?
I bet a lot. That's back when you sold records.
From like touring? Because
and selling records.
I got to think they had a real shitty deal.
Yeah, they got ripped off by that Lou Pearlman that would fuck all the guys.
Right, the pederast.
Yeah, he was a pederast.
But I also think that initial deal is probably terrible, and they had to split it five ways or six ways, whatever it is.
Whatever it was.
But it must – but I mean, how much money could he have made?
Whatever he got, it wasn't enough to have to fucking fly around the country with that douche, Justin Timberlake, and his perm, his frosted perm that he would fucking shove in every available can.
He probably was on during the flight.
I have a 100%. Very, very, very sick Justin Timberlake doll from that era of
it's in the box.
Oh, did I?
Yes. I told you to save that.
Did I throw it away?
Yes. I told you not to.
Well, you get mad if I keep things.
That's true.
And now I'm in trouble for throwing
it
away.
That's one thing you could.
It was in the box still.
I haven't thrown away my Mike Piazza doll. Okay, Kate, what else is going on in the world of pop culture?
I have a Dylan McKay doll.
You do?
Yeah.
You fuck it?
I just let him play.
Blow you?
With the balls.
Yes, Kate.
Michelle gave it to me like last year. Oh,
that's very cute.
That was cute. George Michael of Wham, R.I.P. The contents of his will have been made public,
like,
and his boyfriend, Fadi Fawaz,
yes,
best name, tweeted...
What's that name? Fadi?
Fadi Fawaz. Fadi, F-A-D-I. Tweeted, George, I hate you in several rambling social media
posts because
George did not leave Fadi any of his...
My guess is that George was not expecting to die at 53 years old.
But Fadi makes it sound like he
heart
like George
failure
offed himself in these tweets. I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fadi's saying
Fadi's not a good speller. A lot of these tweets are hard to follow.
What'd he say? Let's hear it. Hold
on. Let me find one.
He left all his money to his sisters. He was a Greek man.
How can I be disappointed with someone ended their own life? If anyone could do that to themselves, they can do worse thing to others.
Oh, so he's not a native speaker. It sounds like ESL.
A lot of Fadi's tweets are very rambling, but he seems very annoyed. George did hook up, though, both his housekeepers.
Yeah,
which was
he paid the staff. I think he probably wrote the will before he hooked up with Fadi Fawaz.
Yeah.
But the problem is this when you're a young guy and you hook up with an older queen like this, like the idea is that you want to be taken care of.
Well, put it out there. He's a lot of his multimillion dollar fortune goes to his sisters and to some charities, which is nice.
I have to say this, and I've said it before on the show. I am an unabashed fan of George Michael, and I was gutted when I found out that he died. Yeah. He was a super talent.
He was still making music too.
Guy was amazing.
Just like Bowie.
No, but he wasn't making music anybody cared
about.
Well,
you don't know. He might have been making some shit. I don't know. He might have been big in the gay club scene.
I would have listened to it.
Yeah. Anyway, he made some fucking hits.
Nobody cared about
him. He made some hits back in the day.
I'm not saying he wasn't talented, but
that was amazing.
Everybody has a shelf life.
What's Andrew Ridgeley
even
up to?
Even the great Paul McCartney was selling CDs at Starbucks that nobody wanted.
It's I like when Bob Dylan was getting interviewed by Ed Bradley, and Ed Bradley's like, "Dylan, do you ever wish you could?" I can't remember how he asked the question, but he's like, "Do you wish you could still wrote songs like you did then?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do." Like.
Actually,
I don't know how I did that.
That's the goal.
But I would like to keep doing it. And sometimes I feel like I do. It's just nobody knows. It's kind of funny. You know, not everybody has thousands and thousands of songs. And I'm like the great Ryan Adams. What else, Kate?
I'm sure most people know by now that genius British comedian Sacha Baron Cohen of Ali G fame has a new show. I think it's a Showtime show.
I don't have Showtime.
Titled "Who Is America?" That will be airing at some point in the not too distant future.
It's been airing. It's like a month in.
Yeah,
it's already started.
I watched it. I will say, it's great what he's pulling off, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's just embarrassing people, but it's not nearly as funny as the Ali G show.
Yeah, it seems a little forced.
Well, I mean, forced or not, he's clowning all these bullshit people.
Yeah.
But it's good that he's embarrassing these guys, but it's just not funny.
Right.
It's just, it's fun to see guys go down.
Yeah. It's hard to duplicate that. It's kind of like Bob Dylan or Paul McCartney. It's like once you do something really amazing, like you've set a bar for yourself, and it's just it's hard. Like people have seen your characters.
So Ed, you're saying it's just another like a different version of Ollie G.
These are just different characters.
Different characters. So I guess he did an interview with Sarah Palin, but it might not air.
Yeah,
that hasn't aired.
That one looks pretty funny.
It might not. It might not go to air. I think that there's probably people trying to vigilantly stop that.
Yeah, that one looks pretty good.
Palin claims she endured a disrespectful, sarcastic interview and finally removed her mic and left.
Yeah. Okay, let's see.
And Showtime issued a statement saying that, rebuking what she said. So
yeah, well, they're gonna show it. I mean, she signed the releases.
Yeah. I'll watch
it. They're teasing that they might it's gonna air.
She deserves to be clowned.
Yeah.
One guy already had to step down because of the appearance.
Well, he screamed the word nigger like four times. And
he didn't need much prodding too.
He was attempting to use his ass to fend off Islamic terrorists.
If you're gonna watch a segment from that show, watch that one.
Screaming, what did he say? He's like, I'm American, you will become homo, because Ali G told him that their biggest fear is that if they're touched by a man's ass, they'll become gay.
Mm-hmm. But it's not Ali G.
Right.
And he had that Sheriff Apayo
last night.
It wasn't very funny, but still the guy said I would take a blowjob from Trump.
So you got Showtime.
I've every channel?
I
know it's better to be the cord cutter, but I can't. I tried. I spent like 2 hours on the phone with these goons, on the chat.
Yeah.
On the chat to try to figure it out, and I just buckled.
Oh my God.
I realized I signed up for another 2-year contract of all these.
Scrooge McDuck, do you swim in a giant room filled with gold coins, Ed? You can afford both Tide Pods. And
cut cords. I just couldn't.
You have every channel. I was watching. There were some good fights on HBO on free HBO this weekend, and I was trying to text my buddy Travis Rogers. I'm like, dude, you got to turn on these fights, and I forgot he was too cheap to pay for HBO. Okay, what else, Kate?
Okay, so Judd Apatow made an appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, where he told a story about how in 2006, Are you trying to interrupt me?
Well, I just wondered if he was. I was just trying to jump in to see if I could predict and see if he was going to talk about that time that we saw him in a restaurant and I basically became his best friend.
Oh,
I mean that's not the story, but he probably wanted to tell that
and
story.
His wife was Leslie
there.
His wife Leslie Mann was there, and she was tiny and beautiful. Okay, go on, Kate.
He told a story about how back in 2006, a not really that famous Seth Rogen introduced a very, very famous Tom Cruise to internet porn.
Oh, my God. Was he?
So the story goes that Judd had taken Seth to a meeting he was having with Tom Cruise when the subject took an unexpected U-turn, where Seth starts talking about watching adult films on the internet. Yeah. And Tom was clearly shook by this revelation. Yes. Tom Cruise goes, what? Wait, you're saying there's adult films on the internet? After Seth confirmed that yes,
surprise me.
Porn on the internet is a thing. Tom could not quite grasp the concept.
You're so glib.
He's like, wait a second. You're saying that if I go on the computer on the World Wide Web, there are people having sex.
Yeah.
Anyway. Pretty funny story.
Yeah.
It's probably a funny story to Google.
Was Seth Rogen like, you gotta check out Ryan's favorite porn site, YouJizz. YouJizz.
No. Well, this was before like YouPorn.
Oh, what year was it?
YouPorn, I think, was 2007.
This is like LimeWire.
2006,
era. Huzzah. Yeah, when you
I went through a rough LimeWire stage. You really weren't sure what was downloading at the time.
And then you'd get a thing that came with like 30 viruses, and it would be like a 45-second clip, and you're and
like,
it'd be
is
gross.
This worth it?
Yeah, it's huge.
The one thing I did see that interview, and the one thing I'd say he added, he said, you know, Seth Rogen's just into two things. Those are the only two things you need to know about Seth Rogen.
Oh.
And so, yeah.
Weed and internet porn.
And porn. He said it was a given that that's where the conversation
right,
was
that's all go. He talks about. Yeah. So if you're not following Seth Rogen on Instagram, you need to be, because he is so fucking funny, because he doesn't get how to use Instagram. It's great.
He's
very funny. Yeah, I love him. What else, Kate?
This is my last story. This is my favorite, also my favorite story. Yeah. So I don't know. Have we talked about how in China, the leader, Xi Jinping.
Yes.
How people in China liken him to the character Winnie the Pooh.
And he hates it. He hates it.
Yes, John Oliver has done a segment on it. So Disney's latest movie, Christopher Robin, about author A.A. Milne, who wrote Winnie the Pooh. This has been banned in China.
Yeah.
Because
cracking down.
Doesn't like that people liken him to Winnie the Pooh. So he banned. Yeah.
They only allow a certain amount of American movies into China every year. And every single one of them has The Rock in it, because he's the biggest star in the world and in China.
And yeah.
So
I just think
they're not allowing Pooh in there.
And shockingly, John Oliver has been apparently banned from Chinese internet.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So China's a fun place. Yeah.
Yes.
And that movie,
glorified.
Winnie the Pooh was the worst.
He's such a bummer.
I saw the trailer. I'm definitely seeing
the
Christopher Robin.
All the characters are terrible. They're either a bummer or Tigger, who is just the most annoying character.
This is a bit blasphemous.
Eeyore.
I would like you guys.
Fuck out of here.
Eeyore.
I'd like you guys to stop.
Buddy, you're bringing us down.
Bagging on.
You're fucking stuffed animals, guys. Like
Winnie the Pooh.
And Piglet was real turd. He had nothing going for him.
He's a huge bummer.
Glommed onto Winnie.
Piglet. He's a fucking baby pig. Why don't you grow up?
And what was with that rabbit?
Get older.
All cunty all the time.
I don't even remember the rabbit.
You guys should.
Rabbit was just. I'm not sure if it was male or female, but it was.
You guys should. Maybe it was. You guys should move to China.
Maybe it was non-binary. Ed, you ever think about that? Why don't you stop putting your fucking gender?
It's in the queue.
Biases.
It's in the queue part.
On there, yeah.
Anyway. I like A.A. Milne. I like Winnie the Pooh. I'm going to see the movie.
I'm really fired up to see Black Klansman. Is everybody else fired up to see that, Ed?
That's good.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, I have a recommendation of a documentary. You should all go see Triplets.
Oh, yeah.
Identical Triplets.
Oh, my God.
It's called Three Identical Strangers.
Three Identical Strangers.
I call it Triplets. I call it Triplets.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a sequel to the DeVito
yes.
I just realized that.
Yes.
Go see the Triplets movie,
yes,
Three Identical Strangers.
That's some fucked up shit in that movie.
It's fucked up. It was like Nazi style experiments, although conducted by Jewish doctors.
I think it was Austrian.
Mm-hmm. Were they?
Well, the doctor.
No, it was
the main psychologist.
Orphanage.
Oh, Jewish orphanage. That's what it was.
Austrian.
I didn't even see it. I was too tired that day. Okay. Excellent. All the way around. Hold on.
All I need is Takashi 69.
I like how he mispronounces it to fit the melody.
I like how Takashi got in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope he's got mystery. Because it's all I need. All
right, that's it. Excellent job all the way around. Thank you very much, Ed Daly.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Congrats to us.
Thank you very much, Kate McManus.
Hey.
Playing along in that titty game.
Mm-hmm.
We can do a Dicks one, too, for you. Next time there's a Dicks one, we'll do a Daly's choice and a Kate's choice.
Remember, when you're writing these out, brevity is the soul of wit.
I like it when you set the tone. Pete Schlitzky. Grew up next to Gary Gaetti. Okay. That's it. For Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 231 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Bye, everyone. Goodbye. Thanks.